This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Several decisions issued by the U.S. Supreme Court at the end of its term have produced much discussion and debate. Those have included rulings on same-sex marriage and the Affordable Care Act. But in a recent blog post, Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow writes that the court's decision that state and congressional legislative districts can be drawn by independent commissions could lead to an epic political battle in Michigan. Zach Gorchow, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Let's begin. The current system is that the legislature votes on a new map for the State House and Senate, as well as Congress. It goes to the governor for the signature. In this case, it would be Rick Snyder, although after 2020, it'll be a new governor. But why is it tough under this current system, even if the Democrats, say, were to get control of the governor's office, to draw the map in a way that they find favorable or at least fair?
Well, what had happened in the past when one party did not control the governor's office and the legislature at the same time is that then the Supreme Court would write the plan, usually tasking someone to do it. And right now the Supreme Court has a majority of justices dominated by the Republican Party. And if you look at just the way the Supreme Court works, where basically incumbents will be reelected, and there's only change once they're forced out by the age limit of 70 that says you can't run for judge once you turn 70, the court is likely in 2021, the next time the maps are drawn, to still have a Republican majority. So if you're the Democrats and you're looking down the road and you're trying to figure out, well, how will redistricting go for us? Things don't look very good because maybe they win the governor's office. They'll have a good chance of that in 2018. Maybe they control the state house in the 2021-22 term, but they almost certainly will not control the state Senate. So they can be pretty sure they're not going to have total control to write new maps themselves.
You write that while nothing is definite, it seems highly likely that Democrats, their allies, or some other entity will seek to gather the necessary signatures in Michigan for a constitutional amendment putting an independent entity in charge of drawing the lines for not only the U.S. House, but also the Michigan House, Senate, and the Court of Appeals. Now, you mentioned that there were a lot of Democrats weighing in on this. How likely is it? Are there already people who are talking about finding the money and the sort of things that would be needed to launch such a effort to gather the signatures?
Well, the interest is massive. I don't know whether, you know, those kinds of really formal discussions are going on yet as far as, you know, figuring out, okay, who's going to lead this and who's going to fund it. But I think, you know, the conversations now are going to kick underway in earnest about, is this something Democrats, you know, want to try for? You know, no question, you know, their hearts clearly are there that they want to do that. They want to move the redistricting process out of the legislature and into the hands of some other entity. And it could be a commission, which is what Arizona does. It could be to, say, nonpartisan staff, which is what the state of Iowa does. They have their nonpartisan legislative staff write the boundaries. So there's a variety of options there. But it's going to be a bit before they can really formalize something, because this is going to be, you know, probably a $15 million campaign to do this, because you can be sure that the Republicans and their allies in business, and they are well-funded, are going to spend big to defeat something like this. So this isn't going to be something the Democrats can win on the cheap.
Well, many Democrats will point to the fact that they have accumulated more total votes, for instance, for state house the last couple of elections. And yet, you know, they're in a severe minority. And they will claim quickly, well, that's gerrymandering. Are there other explanations, such as Democrats live in more densely populated areas, which contribute to that at least somewhat?
Yeah, I mean, that you just nailed it. I mean, that is a big factor. I mean, you have districts in the Detroit area, the city of Kalamazoo in your area, that are more than 60% Democratic. And they're these are neighborhoods where houses are very close together. So you can't, you know, just magically fix that so that you have suddenly a whole bunch of districts that are more like 55% covering a broader area. I mean, it's just not possible. That said, I mean, there are decisions that are made in the way districts are drawn by the Republicans that are to their advantage. You take a look, good example, the House districts in and around the Battle Creek area. the one for Battle Creek, which is held now by John Bison, and that is definitely a Democratic district, and it's surprising that they don't hold that seat. But if you look at the other district, which is now held by David Maturin and covers areas like Galesburg, a whole bunch of rural territory in Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties, that was redrawn in a way to take out Democratic areas. Used to have Albion. The city of Albion is now in John Bison's district, which makes that district more Democratic. So that district now, which used to be Jace Bolger's and is now David Maturin's, could be more competitive, but they have taken out as much of the Democratic turf as possible to mitigate that possibility.
And you wrote back in November how the 62nd House District in Battle Creek, as well as the 20th State Senate District, which includes Kalamazoo County, and some other examples around the state showed that the Democrats lost seats where the legislative boundaries were drawn in ways which were certainly not unfair to them, and in many cases should have been advantageous. I guess that might lead someone to wonder if Democrats are focusing perhaps on one aspect of getting their members elected, and that there may be other things that they need to think about as well.
Redistricting is not a silver bullet, okay? There are so many other factors that come into play, quality of candidate. And I think right now, most importantly, what is the national and statewide political environment? Those are huge factors. Both were a big reason why John Bison, a Republican, won the Battle Creek seat. It was a huge Republican year, and the Democrats did not have a strong candidate in that district. That said, redistricting does tilt the playing field overall. You know, the Democrats did not do a good job, even in some districts that redistricting should have helped them last time. But that said, there still are seats out there that weren't even looked at really at all because redistricting takes them off the board to start with. So while clearly redistricting as an explanation for why Democrats lost specific seats in 2014 is not, in my opinion, a legitimate explanation, there is a legitimate case to be made that, you know, if the lines are drawn differently overall, it may be a totally different conversation as far as how the lines are playing out. And when it comes to the congressional races, which I didn't really get into in that blog after the election, redistricting is huge because of the requirement that the districts be drawn to an exact population number. The district now held by David Trott, who's a Republican from Birmingham, it covers largely in Oakland County, a little bit of Wayne County. Basically, they took every Republican community they could find in Northwest Wayne and Oakland counties and put them together in almost like a kind of a curly Q fashion, avoiding Democratic territory as much as possible. There's no doubt in my mind that if you had a nonpartisan entity drawing the lines in that area, that district would look a lot different.
If the price tag is $2 million just to get the petition signatures, which is what many political observers say you're going to need, how much is a wealthy entity that has that money going to think about some of the things that you just mentioned, that it is not a guarantee, it's not the silver bullet to redraw legislative boundaries, that perhaps that $2 million would get it on the ballot, you'd have to spend more to get it passed, and you still might not move the needle as far as you want to in terms of Democrats in Congress and the State House and Senate?
My suspicion is that they will decide to go for it, because when Rick Snyder's term ends in 2018, it will be the longest stretch in Michigan history that you've had the same governor having legislative control by one party. It'll be 8 years. There have been stretches before. We've had multiple governors of the same party and the legislature under the control of the same party. But this will be the first time you've had one governor in charge for 8 years with total control by one party.
Assuming the Democrats don't win the House.
That's right. And they could. That could happen. You're absolutely right. But assuming that that does not happen, the Democrats are just looking at 8 years of, in their view, just horrific legislation. They have taken it on the chin for the most part for the last 4.5 years. It'll probably be 6 years once we're through. And if the Republicans keep control of the House and they're favored to do that in 2016, it'll be 8 years. So I think they're looking ahead and realizing we have to do something. And the other thing I think they're looking at, too, let's say they do elect a Democratic governor in 2018, and that person serves for 8 years. There's still this mechanism that we've talked about in the past about conservatives could always collect signatures to put laws before the legislature that don't need a governor's signature and can't be stopped with a veto. So you could have a dynamic with a Democratic governor, but still a Republican legislature in the upcoming decade, and that Democratic governor is rendered not irrelevant, but severely weakened because conservative groups can just use the initiated act process to get laws enacted via the legislature. And I think that has got to be in the back of their minds as well, that they feel like they've got to do something here.
The Arizona system has a commission with two Democrats, two Republicans, and as you say, a chair who is supposed to be a political monk, totally independent of political ties. So if the interests out there who want an independent redistricting commission don't want it seen as a big partisan exercise to help Democrats, do they need to find their own version of a political monk, someone who does not have obvious ties to the Democratic Party or its interests, who would be seen as simply trying to affect this in a purely partisan fashion?
Yeah, this is one of the big political hurdles with this, is that, let's say just hypothetically, they do draw up a plan that is very neutral in nature, you know, as nonpartisan as possible, and doesn't try to tilt the field back to the Democrats in some way. If it's unions putting the money into this, if it's major Democratic groups putting the money into this, if it's Democratic voices carrying the message, it's going to be pretty easy for the opposition to put together a campaign against this. And it's always easier to get no votes than yes votes, of course, when it comes to a ballot proposal. So I think you're right that they're going to have to find some kind of sort of pseudo grassroots entity that can be the voice on this, and also to find as neutral a figure as possible to chair it. You know, you can't go out and have the Democratic Party chair or elected Democratic officials being the voice for this thing. That's not going to work. And it's not exactly clear who that would be. And that'll be one of the subjects, I'm sure, that's discussed as they try to lay the groundwork for this, presuming they decide to move ahead on it.
Zach Gorchow, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongra News Service. A link to Zach Gorchow's blog for the Gongra News Service on the potential political fight over redistricting can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.